Well, hello. I want to start off by welcoming everyone joining us all around the world on the internet, as well as you guys joining us at all the Eastlake churches, the whole network. Like, there's so many Eastlake churches and Eastlake Network churches that I really can't even name. Like, every time I come back, there's another new Eastlake church campus. As a matter of fact, I heard you guys are opening up one in Dubai. Like, not really, but seriously, every time I come, like, there's another Eastlake Church. My name is Scott Williams. I bring you greetings from the great state of Oklahoma, and it is good to be with you here in California. And normally I say home of the 2018 NBA champions, Oklahoma City Thunder, but I'm not going to talk about the Thunder right now because it's not working how we thought it was going to work out. Not right now, but it's still early. But I will say home of the Oklahoma Sooners, and I am a college football fan. You can boo all you want, but we're going to win the national championship. I'm just saying. It's so funny. Like, anytime it's a sports team, I kind of realize this, that, like, when your team is doing good, they're always like, it's my Sooners, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I claim them. And then when they're not doing so good, they're either your Sooners or the Sooners. You know what I'm saying? Like many of you guys used to say, you know, my Lakers or my Chargers, and now they're just the Lakers or the Chargers. You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of how it happens with sports. When you love them, you claim them, but when not, it's just kind of, they're just one or the other, whatever. And so again, for those of you guys that may be new, or maybe you haven't been here the other times I've shared, it's great to be back. I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm married. I have one wife. She's awesome. Her name is LaKendria, and she's white. You know she's not white with the name LaKendria, you know what I'm saying? Anytime a name begins with La, Sha, Ba, Da, or Ta, you know they black, right? It's good. She's awesome. I love her. She's beautiful. She's like the hot fudge and caramel on my sundae. She's the hot sauce and maple syrup on my chicken and waffles. I love her, and we have two sons. Our oldest son is Scott Wesley Williams Jr. We call him Wesley. He's actually a freshman at OU in Oklahoma. And so that's a picture of our family. Actually, that was from Friday night. My son right there, who is a freshman in high school, Heritage Hall, they just played in the state championship, 14-0 season, won the state championship. It's a great program. So that was Jaden on the left. You can clap for that. It's good. And then, so that's him holding the gold ball. So we're expecting 4 years of state champions while they're there. So again, man, we're always doing stuff for sports. So I had a game late Friday night, and I flew out here. And so it's just good to be here. I love being here. And here's kind of how I roll. I travel all around the world speaking, whether it's at churches or corporations. And here's kind of my rule. If it's my first time here, then I'm a visitor. But after I've been here one or two or three or four times, I just consider myself family. So, like, I'm your brother from another mother, right? I know some of you guys are getting your Christmas cards out. If you want Pastor James to send you, like, a picture, you can just Photoshop your brother in, send those Christmas cards out. Your family members like, Bob, who's this? You know what I'm saying? But it's good. And none of this that I'm saying right now has nothing to do with my message. But at the end, I promise you that everything that I say, it's all going to point towards Jesus. And so, again, I'm excited to be able to share. And here's what I love about Eastlake churches and churches like Eastlake is that, and even churches part of the Eastlake Network, is like, this isn't how church was when I was growing up. I don't know about you guys, but this isn't how church was. I mean, I'm just going to give you a matter of fact. We're going to go back to young Scott, about 8 years old, going to church. And so young Scott didn't have an amazing children's ministry that you could go to and get amazing children's curriculum. As a matter of fact, you want to know what the children's curriculum was for young Scott about 8 years old? It was doodling on the back of offering envelopes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the children's curriculum. That's what I did. And so young Scott, he's doodling on the back of offering envelopes. And again, this was before, like, vegan and healthy. And so my mom, she would give me, like, some candy to kind of hold me over while I was doodling on the back of my offering envelopes. And so the candy back then was like old school candy. Some of you guys might not know what I'm talking about. My mom would give me very healthy Circus peanuts and candy corns. How many of you guys know what candy corns are? By a show of hands, all of our locations? Okay. We got some old school folks. You young folks, just ask your mom and them when you leave. You know what I'm saying? And so young Scott, 8 years old, I'm just like trying to make the candy corn, you know, last. And I would like eat the white part off of the top. You know, I'm playing games and eat the yellow and eat the orange. And I'm sitting there doodling on offering envelopes. And then like the pastor was like, I don't know, like he was like really angry and stuff. Like he'd be like, and the Lord said, aha, and if you don't quit doing this, you're going to hell, aha, and Jesus hung on the cross, aha. I'm like, Mom, what's wrong with him? Why is he so mad? Just yelling. And then He'd be like, and you're just in here today. This is just a little glimpse of what heaven is going to look like. Aha! I'm like, if this is what heaven is going to look like, send me to hell. You know what I'm saying? This dude is angry. So it's good, but that's not how church is for kids now. You get to go and experience an amazing message, and kids are coming out excited. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story in the Bible today dealing with Jesus. And I'm just going to preach the Bible. I'm going to go ahead and set the stage for the time that we're looking at in Scripture. Just think about this. Think about a time where, wherever you're at, if you're in Chula Vista or whatever part of the city you're in, or wherever you're watching this online or Facebook Live, and there's these stories of Jesus performing miracles in your area. I mean, you think about all the looking that happens just when a car is broke down or there's an accident. Think about, you hear the story of like miracles, and Jesus did this, and Jesus did that, and Jesus healed this person, and they were blind, and now they can see. And so think about what you like, you want to go see, you're going to line up to see what's going on. And so that's what's happening. I'm like, man, oh, Jesus performing some miracles. Jesus is performing miracles. Jesus is doing this, and Jesus is doing that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading in verse 40. I'm going to read all the way to verse 55. I'm just going to read the Bible, and then we're going to come back and unpack it a few verses at a time. Is it okay that I just teach the Bible today? That's not a trick question. Let's ask this again. Is it okay that I teach the Bible today? Yes. Okay, thank you. Here's what the Bible says. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Her cloak was his garment that he was dragging on the cobblestone streets. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came and trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except for Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. We could put down our Bibles, we could put down our smartphones, and we could walk out the doors or log off online. That's really everything that we need to hear. But I really feel like that God wants to speak something special to the hearts of every single person that's under the sound of my voice through the Scriptures. So I'm going to go ahead and set the stage for some of these players that we're looking at. You look at Jairus, the synagogue leader, just to give you some context. He was the person that was held in high esteem. He was the big man on campus. He was the pastor. He was the one that would come and set the stage and make sure everything looked great and make sure all the prayers were together. He was the one that made sure that everything was together. And so for this man to come to Jesus, that means that he was in dire straits. In other words, his back was against the wall. Does that sound kind of familiar? That's kind of how it is in our life. What happens is we find ourselves going to Jesus when our back is against the wall, when we have stage four, when we lost our job, when our marriage is hanging on by a thread. That's the same thing is going on with Jairus. And then you had this woman who in this text says, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Some of you have been around long enough to where you may have read a version where he called her the woman with the issue of blood. And what this means was this is a woman that she bled beyond her cycle. For kids that are in here, I mean motorcycle. That's why you need to go to children's church. Aha! You know what I'm saying? So she bled beyond her cycle, and she would be considered in this time ceremonially unclean. So anything that she touched was unclean. If she touched that seat that you were sitting next to, that seat would be unclean. If she touched this table would be unclean, and everything that she touched would be considered unclean. So I want you to think about the tension that this put on her relationships, the tension that this put on her family, that everything she touched was unclean. And she tried everything. She sold all of her possessions and she was trying to get help, and she went to this person and she went to that person and she went to Dr. Phil, she went to Dr. Oz, she did everything and it wasn't working. She was getting more and more anemic. And as I said before, she heard of these stories of Jesus and these miracles, and so she knew that he was the one that she needed to reach out to if she wanted to see breakthrough. And so what we're doing, the title of our talk today is Stay Connected to the Pack. Everybody say pack. Pack. Everybody say pack. Pack. As I was reading the text, I was reminded that you had this woman with the issue of blood. How many years has she been bleeding? 12. Jairus' daughter was how old? 12. And so I'm like, God, like, what are you saying in the scripture with this number 12? And so I begin to research, like, what does the number 12 mean? And the number 12 means literally power, authority, and completeness. And so we talk about the pack, that's what it is. I'm gonna go ahead and reveal to you power, authority, and completeness. So that's what we're gonna look at. Like, how do you stay connected to the pack? First thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down, is you have to connect to the power of Jesus. Everybody say power.
Power.
Everybody say power.
Power.
Here's the Bible says, verse 40 through 44. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to not come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about how old? About 12, was dying. As he was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. Then a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for how many years? 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And she knew that the only way she was going to experience breakthrough, the only way she was going to experience healing, was she had to reach out and connect to the power of Jesus. It kind of reminds me, I don't know what you guys call these in your home, but in our house we call them either the box or the pack. And so does anybody have these little iPhone chargers? And in my house, somehow they always come up missing. These come up missing in your home? Like just a goblin just eats them up. You know what I'm saying? They're always gone. And like my oldest son writes his name on them. You know what I'm saying? And so they always claim that dad loses them. So again, since I'm dad, what I like to do is I like to get the bigger pack. You can go to the Apple store, and this one is like actually used to charge iPads, but it's a 12 volt instead of a 4 volt. And this one will charge your things like 4 or 5 times faster. So I get the big pack. And so I'm thinking about, as we're talking about connecting to the pack, and you go, and so if I want to charge my iPhone, right? If I want to charge my iPhone, what I do is I plug it in, and I'm ready to go charge my iPhone. Can I charge my iPhone right now? No. If I want to charge my iPhone, what do I have to do? I have to connect to what? I have to connect to the pack, right? I have to connect to the pack. And so when I connect to the pack, guess what? Now I have the opportunity to plug into an endless power source. And so what you got to do when you connect to the pack, when you connect to the power of Jesus, now you can go plug in and connect to Jesus. And that's what this woman with the issue of blood, that's what she knew, that she had to reach out and she had to stretch out in order to connect to Jesus. And some of you are here today and you're wondering why you're not experiencing the blessing and breakthrough that maybe the scriptures point to, or maybe your friends and family members are having. And I'm here to tell you, it's because you're not connecting to the power source. And what's interesting about this story is that when the Bible refers to this woman who had been subject to bleeding or the woman with the issue of blood, they don't call her Claudia or Sally or Jenny or Lakendria. They call her the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who had been subject to bleeding. And that's the story of our lives. Sometimes that if we have a condition that stays around long enough, we'll begin to be called and defined by that condition instead of what God has called us to. And so again, maybe for you it's John the alcoholic, or Mary who can't keep a man, or Shelley who's just promiscuous, or John who's always going to be divorced, or Marietta with stage 4 cancer, or Jenny from the block that's insecure. Like, you begin to be defined by those conditions instead of being defined by the names and what God has called and said that you can do. Because I'm telling you, like, you got to learn to speak some positive things over yourself, over your life, look in the mirror, begin to speak them over your family. Amen. I mean, every single day, I told you my boys are 14 years and 18 years old. Every single day, I speak over them that they're going to be the greatest world changers of their time. That God is going to do some amazing things. So I speak that over them every single day. Son, God's got something amazing for you. You need to understand that. Don't you ever settle. You're going to be the greatest of your time. So I'm here to tell you, if you have an 18-year-old or a 14-year-old, they can be world changer number two, because I've already claimed world changer number one for my boys. I'm just trying, not no competition. I'm just saying, like, but. The reason why they say that, that's very important, because these labels will kill you. Matter of fact, here's a great example of this. This is not a political statement. This is just some revelation that God gave me from the election. When you looked at the election, one of the things that President Trump was masterful at doing during the election was giving his opponents labels. As a matter of fact, what did he call Marco Rubio? He called him Little Marco. What did he call Jeb Bush? He called him Choke Artist Jeb. What did he call Ted Cruz? He called him Lion Ted. And what did he call Hillary Clinton? He called her Crooked Hillary. And so no matter where you were, subliminally, those labels begin to elevate. You begin to think about those labels. Because here's the thing. In life, you have two choices. You can elevate your problems, or you can elevate your promise and the promises of God. But whichever one you elevate, that's what covers you. So what are you choosing to elevate? Are you choosing to elevate the promises of God, that young man, that you got something special on your life, that your marriage can be amazing, that God has something special for you, that you can be healed, that blessing and breakthrough is over there? Or are you elevating your problem? Oh, it's just a story of my life. You don't understand. It's easy for you to say up there, Pastor Scott. It's just a story of my life. Well, you need to get a new author. Because I'm telling you, God has something special for you. Because the beautiful thing about Jesus is he can be on his way right now to the 405 somewhere in LA to perform a miracle in an accident. But he can make a stop right here at Eastlake Church, right there where you're at online or one of the network locations, and perform a miracle in your marriage, perform a miracle in your finances, perform a miracle in your thoughts. That's what he did. He was on his way to perform one miracle. On the way, he stopped and performed another one. So the second thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down. You have to submit to the authority of Jesus. Everybody say authority. Authority. Here's what the Bible says, verse 45 through 47. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. This is important. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing this she could not go unnoticed, came and fell and trembling at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told it why she had touched him and how she had been healed. So what he said is that this woman reached out and touched him, and he said, what? I know that power has gone out from me. Isn't that an amazing illustration that God is reminding you that you have to do your part? If you would just reach out and touch him. Or are you trying to play it cool, like, oh, I got this thing figured out. I'm just kind of doing the church thing. I'm just kind of checking the box. Are you truly reaching out and grabbing a hold of Jesus? Because what this woman realized, she's like, Lord, it was me. She could literally say, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Which is what many of you guys are. Ain't me, dog. Like, yeah, I go to this church, but now, man, no, dog, I'm doing my thing. No. But that's what she did. She said, it was me. I'm here to put you on notice that you can't go unnoticed. God is not surprised by anything that you're doing. You think when you're clicking on that porn that God doesn't see it? You think when you're cheating on your husband that God doesn't know it? You think when you're preparing to cheat on your taxes that God doesn't know it? You think when you're not trying to give your marriage all that it's got and you're wondering why it's not working that God doesn't see it? You think when you truly don't feel like that God's going to heal you and yeah, that was something he did in the old, that was something he did with the woman, the issue of blood, that God doesn't feel it? I'm telling you, you got to come clean in order to become clean. I mean, that's what you need to do. Today is the day that you're going to truly become clean because you're going to come clean. I'm going to go ahead and come clean with you. Like, I wish I had the preacher boy story where I did this, I did that. I went to seminary. Everything was perfect. And we got married and I get to go around the world and preach God's word. That's not my story. As a matter of fact, my oldest son, Scott Wesley Williams Jr., he was in our wedding. You do the math. You know what I'm saying? I say that only to tell you this, was that when people say, Scott, like, when did you truly start running after Jesus? It was easy. It's when Wesley was born. Because it was that moment like, okay, God, I'm doing this. I'm on this journey. And ever since then, so you want to know how long? 18 years. That's what I've been running after. It's just easy to point to. And some of you guys have those defining moments in your life, but you're trying to hold them back. You got to come clean in order to become clean. Your story, there's power in your story and your testimony, and God's going to use it if you will allow him to. Now, we'll say this, as Wesley's gotten a little bit older and he started to see wedding pictures and stuff. He's a preacher's kid. Like, Mom, Dad, how was I in y'all's wedding? Like, boy, you heard the story of the Virgin Mary. Aha! You know what I'm saying? You were so awesome. God gave you to us early. You know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. But it was at that moment when I knew that, okay, God, like, that he could use something amazing. When we're talking about the authority of Jesus, the reverence and awe of, like, God, I know that I'm broken and I don't have it all figured out. And listen, look at all that I've done. But, God, I still want to be able to serve. Like, the reverence and awe of who you are. It's just something about that authority. Like, I remember my boys were young. I'd always teach them about authority. And you meet someone, you give them a firm handshake, and you look them in the eye, and you say, hi, I am Wesley Williams, or hi, I am Jaden Williams. And it's just something about that authority, and that's what you do. And I'm thinking about, like, that's who we are. Matter of fact, what I want everybody to do right now, I want everybody on the count of three, Facebook Live, everybody watching online, I'm going to say, on count three, I'm going to say, I am, and then you're going to say your name and say it really loud. So there's going to be lots of different names. I tried this at another service, and I said, I am, and they all said Wesley Williams. I'm not saying that. Like, follow directions on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. I am. All these different amazing names, uniquely equipped to do amazing things and amazing things for the kingdom of God. And I'm thinking about this name, I am. The name I am is actually one of the names in the Bible that we refer to Jesus, the great I am. I am, like, I am who I am. Like, I am, that's the most amazing name. We're talking about the authority of, like, I am who he is. Do you think it's ironic that we can't even tell someone who we are without acknowledging who he is? Let me say that again. I am Scott Williams. So the next time you even introduce yourself, man, just realize the reverence. I'm like, God, like, of who he is. And that's the power. So we're talking about the authority of who he is. And the last thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down, is you have to trust in the completeness of Jesus. Everybody say completeness. Let's go to verse 48. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in except for Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. He said, "She's not dead, but asleep." Many of you have some dreams and some things that you wanted to do in your life, some things that you felt like that you put on the back burner, that maybe some friends or some family members close to you said that those dreams were dead, that you're too old, that you don't have the education, that you're from the wrong side of the tracks, that you can't raise the money, that you're not smart enough, that you're not good enough. I'm here to tell you that those dreams aren't dead. They're just asleep. But you got to trust in the completeness of Jesus. What we're talking about is we're talking about faith. That's what the completeness of Jesus, like, "Jesus, I trust that you got this." Matter of fact, could you go back and could you put verse 50 up again? Verse 50, please. Let me read this again. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, semicolon, just believe, and she will be healed." You see, the semicolon is this interesting piece of punctuation that's been around since the 1400s. Altus Matinaeus is the one that came up with it. And it was a symbol that when a writer is writing that where a story or a sentence is supposed to end, but oh no, it's not going to end there. It continues on. I mean, it was the emoji before emojis were emojis. You know what I'm saying? It was the winking emoji. Some of you still use it as the winking emoji. You know, like the semicolon, it's been around. And so what God is saying is that, like, here's the deal, like, it's supposed to be dead, it's supposed to end, it's supposed to be ugly, semicolon what? Just believe. As a matter of fact, when I say semicolon, I want you to say "just believe" really loud, okay? Semicolon.
Just
believe. Semicolon. And that's what you got to look at the story of your life. Here's the deal. Stage 4 cancers, the doctor said there's no way that you can be healed, that your family member can be healed. Semicolon. You got that friend or family member that's run from the Lord. They're hanging with the crowd that you know is not God's best. And people say, "Man, they're in a rough situation. There's no way they can come back to God." Semicolon. Here's the deal. Maybe you've been divorced and you've been searching for Mr. or Mrs. Right, and you've tried everything. But and your friends who don't even honor God, they seem to be finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. And it doesn't seem like it's going to work, but you want it to work. And they say it's not going to work. Semicolon. Maybe you've been trying to get pregnant, some of you week after week and month after month and year after year, but yet no pregnancy. And everybody's saying there's no way that you can get pregnant. The doctor says you need to quit trying. Semicolon.
Yes.
Your marriage is hanging on by a thread. You're addicted to porn. You're broke. You lost your job. You're in a rough situation. Everybody has counted you out. But God has counted you in. Semicolon. We serve an amazing God who puts semicolons in our stories. See a young lady that's wiping tears away over here. And many of you are doing the same. And some of you, today's the day that you're going to come clean, so that you can become clean. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. God's reminding us, sometimes you're going to go through stuff for a mighty long time. Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. Jesus, 12 disciples, 12 pearly gates, 12 tribes. And 12 months a year, you have access to the same healing power that the woman with the issue of blood did. But also you need to understand this. You got to do your part, because you have an enemy, the devil, who can just whisper some stuff in your ear. That's doing his part. That's all he can do. As a matter of fact, the California Penal Code for murder is 187. The number 12 is used 187 times in the Bible. I think God is trying to put us on notice that there's an enemy that's trying to murder your dreams. There's an enemy that's trying to whisper some things in your ear and say, he's not talking to you. You're not good enough. Why should you forgive them? Yeah, that's for them. That's not for you. But things are different for you because you're going to come clean so that you can become clean. And you're going to live a life that's all about semicolon. It ain't changed because I'm whispering. Let's try this again. Because you're going to live a life that's all about semicolon. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for every single person that's under the sound of my voice. That God, everybody with a crowd this size and everybody watching online, people going through so many different things, but all across this room and those that are on Facebook Live and those who are at our network locations, if you would say, you know what? There's areas in my life where I truly need to have more faith. I truly need to trust God more. God, would you give me the ability to understand and tap into your power and submit to your authority and just trust in the completeness of who you are all across this room. If you say you want God to increase that in you, just raise your hand. I just want to pray over you. And online, just raise your hand, tap the screen wherever you're at. God, I pray for every single hand that's lifted up right now. God, would you begin to increase their faith, Lord? God, I pray that they can't get through this week without blessing and breakthrough and you showing up in their life and revealing to them who you are, what you can do. God, I pray right now the chains of addiction that are being broken right now, Lord, I pray that marriages were hanging on by a thread, that those marriages are beginning to be mended right now. Lord, I pray for people that had this spirit of unforgiveness and couldn't forgive something that somebody did to them. God, that they would forgive and that they would be off of their hook but not off of your hook, God. God, I pray that for an increase in finance, for people that are going through some stuff, God, I pray that you give them solutions. God, increase their faith because the Bible talks about three types of faith. Little faith, God can do this. Great faith, God will do this. And a perfect faith, it's as good as done. God, I pray a perfect faith over your people right now. I pray a perfect faith over every single heart, over every single ear, over every single mind that's listening to remind that right now. God, from young to old, a perfect faith that God, that you are going to show up and that their situation is going to blow up. We love you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, guys. Let's give it up for our God. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. God bless you guys.